This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I heard a lie when I first got saved, and I want to mention that before I share this tonight. The lie is basically this. When you first get saved, you're in love with Jesus, and you can fall in love with him. But as you grow, the Lord wants to put you down and tell you that, hey, grow up. We can't be that close now because you should know better. But when you're a baby, the Lord will love on you, and you can have, sweet communion or intimacy with him. But as you get older in the Lord, God expects you. He won't answer just your little prayers anymore. He won't, because you're getting older. So, yeah, I grow up. I only did that because you were a baby Christian. And this is backwards. It's the opposite of what the Word of God teaches and what the gospel teaches and what Jesus taught his own disciples, even after they had been with him 3.5 years. Instead of telling them, hey, you guys ought to just become more like adult, he tell them, you must be converted and become as little children. The way to grow spiritually is to become more like children spiritually in your heart before God. I've never had passion for lost souls so strongly as when I'm receiving that love of Heavenly Father and remembering where Jesus brought me from and remembering the grace that's upon my life. That there comes an overflow now. Now I have passion when I see someone lost. It's not because I just remember that over 25 years ago, Jesus set me free out of a pit, out of darkness, out of sin. It's not just back then. It's the grace that I'm receiving now, today. That's what allows an overflow to see someone lost or hurting, or even someone in the church, one of my brothers or sisters that's fallen. And that's why the Bible says, if someone is in a fault, a brother or sister, you that are spiritual, restore them. In other words, don't handle it without Jesus. That's the most simple way I can put it. You that are spiritual means don't handle it without the Holy Spirit. That's Galatians 6:1. Do not attempt to restore someone without the Holy Spirit, without his passion, without his love. This is very important. And so when I'm sharing tonight is very important. We may read through some scriptures for those that maybe came for a Bible study, but those of you that just came in need of healing, we have that too. What I believe tonight is that the Lord would have us pray for one another tonight. And we won't go through reading all these scriptures about that, but James chapter 5 says, pray for one another that you may be healed. If anyone's afflicted, pray. If anyone's sick among you, anoint them with oil. All through Scripture, receive one another. If your brother's hurting, go to him. Even if he's hurt you or you've hurt them, go to him. It's all about reconciliation, restoration, healing. And I just believe that the words that were spoken by Pastor Darren a while ago, this is the Holy Spirit telling us that the harvest is all around us. And it's happening now. And for us to really be ready, it comes not from being so mature that I know all about the Bible, I'm ready to tell someone the plan of salvation. It comes from a fresh receiving of his love. And that comes by fresh revelation of who Jesus is in my life. Well, having said that, if you would go to Revelations chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 3. I want to share just a moment about not seeing, yet believing. Before we go there, I just keep feeling led this way. I don't know why. 25 years ago, I got saved, a little over that. That year, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. When you get filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Or put it this way, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he makes you heaven ready. When he comes upon you, he makes you earth ready. for what you face, or the, you know, helping others, or testifying about Jesus, you know, with power. So very important, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is God pouring His Spirit upon your life. Well, this happened to me, and I was just so on fire. And when the Spirit comes on your life, the Bible becomes a whole different book. I mean, it comes alive. It's called revelation. Can you say revelation? Revelation to you. It's not just information. It's revelation. You might not see it with your physical eyes, but spiritually you see something that others don't see. That's why you could be all excited and others around you are like, get over it, dude, all right, Jesus saved you, okay? And they don't understand the excitement, the joy, the, you know. So I told my mom, Jesus saved me. Mom, I called her long distance. I want you to forgive me. I was never a good son. I was a disrespectful son. I left home at 14. I cursed you out, my father out. You know, please forgive me. She was like, that's nice, honey. Well, as time went on, months, she began to see that, okay, my son's not on drugs. He's not drinking. I went to visit her. I'm sharing scripture with her now. Sharing with her, look what I found, and I'm so excited. I'm just sure she's getting it. I just know she is. And so I spent a weekend with her. And during that weekend, Friday night, she gets off work, and I'm out at her trailer, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking, I'm going to share this with Mom when she gets home. And, you know, 5 o'clock came, she didn't come, 6, 7, 8, 9. By then, I'm already, oh, okay, 10 comes, and I'm thinking, my mom went out. I know she went out like she used to. I'm praying, God, you know, help me, and I'm trying to call her. 1 a.m. come, no, 2 a.m., you know, the bars close at 2. About 3 a.m. comes, I hear the car pull up. I'm still awake. I'm a little bit irritated with a smile. And I hear the car keys and her trying to get in. And I don't go to help her out there. I'm thinking, she's drunk. Let her. She was there on the who knows how long. Then she comes in and she turns and she sees me there. Oh, honey, you're still awake. And where you been, Mom? I'm upset. She goes, honey, come here, give me a hug. I said, no, where you been? She walks over to me and I stand up. I don't push her. I'm not like violent with her, but I just tell her, just hold on. You smell like a brewery, I told her. I'm just so disappointed inside of me. So I'm like, now I'm kind of like chiding her. And tell her, go get sober. And then in the morning, come hug me. Mom, I already told you how Jesus changed me. Why don't you get it? Jesus is, I mean, he's right here. He died for you. He loves you. He changed my life. Can't you see what he did? What I was? Now how I am? Can't you see that? The power of God? She's like, she goes down the hallway, and I'm hearing her hit every side, you know. I was worse than her, by the way, a lot worse. Waking up on sidewalks, waking up having done the restroom on myself as a teenager, God knows where, sidewalk downtown Austin or somewhere in a park on the grass or in a sidewalk in the apartments and people stepping over me, going to work and not knowing where I'm at. As soon as she went to bed, I knelt down and God spoke to me. I started to pray, God, first of all, I praise you, I thank you. I knew that much. You praise God first before you do anything. But as I'm praising him, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I didn't treat you that way when you were out there. And I began to, he just instantly broke my heart. And he showed me a picture. It's along with the prophecy that you were speaking. He showed me a picture of my mom like a little sheep. He showed me her going under a fence. And he showed me her not as my mom. He showed me her as someone Jesus died for and that he loves so much. And he showed me her differently than the way that I saw her, frustrated with her, as my mom. And he showed me how much he loved her. Oh, I just began to weep. And I told God, well, what do you want me to do? She's not listening. She's not getting it. How do I get through to her? I'm not supposed to reward her for that. What do? I feel like I'm the parent. He said, when she comes in, don't ask her where she's been. You know where she's been. I know where she's been. She knows where she's been. You tell her, Mom, I love you. Jesus loves you, and I'm praying for you. And give her a hug in my name. In my name. This is not about you. In my name, you do that. In my name. That's why Jesus said, in my name, you go and preach the gospel. In my name, you lay hands on the sick. In my name, you cast out demons. In my name, you love the unlovable. Even if it's a family member, someone close. That's why years later, God began to see, he always tells you something, and he'll take that something, and he'll go deeper and deeper and deeper with it all your life. That's why years later, I get married. God tells me, before Lena and I were married, he tells me, she's not going to be your wife first. She's my daughter first. Then she's your wife. So when you pray for her as my daughter. Then pray for her as your wife. That way your view will always be correct. Loving her about her relationship with the Father first. Then you can pray, and Lord, you gave her to me as a wife, so give me grace how to, this is your soul, you died for her. All we like sheep have gone astray, and each has turned to his own way. And the Lord caused to fall on him the sin of us all. This is very important, and this is why I'm sharing with you. I don't know who that's for, because this is not even what I was going to teach or share with you tonight. God sees things different than we do. Faith is not just trying to believe God for something, trying to get God to do something. Faith is our eyes being opened to see. That's why it says we walk by faith and not by, that's physical sight. When you get born again, you're given a spiritual body, which means you have, the scriptures teach this, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. You're given a spiritual voice. You're given a spiritual body. It's spiritual. Years ago, I was in a motorcycle accident. I was 12 years old. It was my first time at it. I thought, you know, sometimes it's good if you have a courageous spirit to just try stuff. Sometimes it's not good. So I got on there, no helmet, anything. I didn't even know what the clutch or the brake was. And bam, I ran into an RV. I don't know how fast I was going, but I was out for a while, and my head was up here and knocked part of my scalp off right here. And it still, like, tingles when I talk about it. And that was many years ago. Again, I'm 43. Not long after that, I experienced walking in the neighborhood with my friend. My eyes just went blank. I couldn't see. And I was telling my friend that I was very scared to lead me. This would happen a few times. Still to this day, once in a while, my vision will go. Just once in a while. I don't know what happened. Sometimes when you take such a hard hit, if it's a really hard hit, it can actually affect your vision. And it can actually make you not see clear. It can actually even, maybe even totally shut out your vision like it did to me those few times. Spiritually, it's the same. In the Christian life, that's why I say you could get born again and see clearly who Jesus is. You're the Son of God. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm not worried about nothing. Anything, because I know you got me. I'm not afraid of death. You're the Lord with power. You conquered death. And then in your Christian walk, as it goes along, you can take a very hard hit, and it will actually damage your vision of Jesus because you have spiritual eyes. Are you? I'm not getting too mystic here on you, am I? Are you understanding? What I'm going to share these scriptures in a positive way, not negative, even though there's a negative side, but I'm going to share the positive side of this. Would you look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 17? Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and have need of nothing, you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, I only want to focus on one part of that scripture. You do not know that you're blind. Now, what's this? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And look at this last part. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. That's all I want to focus on tonight, is this, what he's saying. This is to the church. Say the church. So, yes, when we pray for unbelievers because the God of this world has blinded their minds, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Yes, but as believers, what I want you to know is God does not just open your eyes when you get saved. There's much, much more he has for us. It's not just a boring, wow, it was so exciting, I got saved, now I just go to church. No, God says, I want to keep giving you revelations of my Son, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will help you in every season of your life, individually, family, and as a church. It will help you to know you're serving the Most High God, but it comes by way of, the only thing he warns here is this word, verse 17, because you say, I have need of nothing. He said, be careful with that. That's an enemy. To say, I don't need, you know, you. And the way he says for God to open your eyes, he said, I counsel you to buy of me. See, this is without money. I counsel you to buy of me eye salve to be put on your eyes. 1 Peter chapter 1, would you turn there? Go back a few books or to the left. Let me just read a few scriptures with you here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Opinions are like noses, right? But this is not opinion. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Say living hope. See, this is not a doctrine or dead religion, or we've read the scriptures. I know about the resurrection of the dead. A living hope. That means it's living in us. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By the way, my mother, I guess about 10 years ago, I'm thinking it was, she came to live with us. And I gave her life back to Jesus. She was saved when she was younger and had went astray. Gave her life back to Jesus. Recently, a little more than a week ago, she had a surgery. She had a blood clot blocking all the flow to her leg. They thought they would have to amputate. And that's what happens when there's a clot. It blocks the flow of blood. Well, I don't want to be that clot. I want to be more of what keeps that member and that leg, and they were able to clear it out, and her leg was spared. So we had just come from there just before we came down, back down to this area. So I just want to mention that when you're a believer and you're loving others and you're flowing with this in revelation, you're not a hindrance. You're part of getting that flow. If you don't know this, if blood doesn't flow to your body, you know, there's a problem. I woke up not too long ago, and somehow, I don't know how I did this, my arm was like this, and I could not feel anything in my arm. And I mean to the point that I literally had to grab my arm, and I was like, you know, sometimes you can kind of move it. And I couldn't move it for nothing, anything. And because the blood had to flow there. And that's you and I believing. And that's why he says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Well, a living hope. Look back at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's not like a parking meter that runs out of time and, oh, it got outdated. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved. Say grieved. That's sorrowful by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, please focus on this verse. whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Not seeing, but believing, you love him. Not seeing, but believing, you rejoice in him. Not seeing, but believing. There's a spiritual seeing that God gives his people. You might say, I know, I got saved, and God, please don't go there. Please let God do something new in you in this hour. I'm not saying just to any one of you. I'm saying to all of us, please, let's don't get familiar in this hour that we're living in. Let's don't treat it like, oh, yeah, I've read all the Bible. I went to Bible school. I've read all these scriptures. And no, because even his disciples that were with him, they had to learn this. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Quickly, I'm going to read a few scriptures here so that we can have some real focus and faith when we pray for each other. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, see, they've been saved already, and your love for all the saints, they're doing God's will, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Some versions say the eyes of your heart. There it is. The eyes of your new spirit be enlightened. He's praying for believers, for Christians. You might say, well, Christians already have their eyes open. He's praying for believers, a spirit of revelation. So the devil wants us to think, well, you've already been saved. You got excited about Jesus. That's it. He's saying, no, there's God wants to still touch your eyes. Revelation chapter 3, he's saying, I saw to anoint your eyes that you may see. There's times you don't know that you're blind. You don't know that the Lord is standing right there in the midst, and you don't know in his power, his glory, or to save someone, and you don't know. And he's saying to pray for a spirit of revelation, that the eyes of your understanding be opened up. Go with me to Luke chapter 24. I know I'm sharing a little bit kind of like teaching, but it's so that when we pray, it would be in faith. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. By the way, after the Lord corrected me that night and I wept, I went down that hallway to try to apologize to my mom. She was knocked out there. And her little feet, she didn't even cover them with a... So I just knelt at the foot of her bed, at her feet, and grabbed her little feet and began to pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, and cry and ask God to please don't let the way I demonstrated you keep her from coming to you, because I'm like Moses, I misrepresented you. I did not treat you holy, because when you don't represent Jesus right to each other, it's called not treating God holy, that he's different. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. This is exciting. Verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's after the resurrection. They talked together of all the things which had happened. While they conversed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, or some versions say holden. Their eyes were blocked, hindered, and they did not know him. Their eyes were... So he's there with them, but their eyes, say eyes. Their eyes were withheld. Now physically they saw him. What's up, man? How you doing? Hey, I guess he's going to walk with us. But their eyes were withheld. These are disciples of Jesus. These are apostles. These are believers. It is possible for Jesus to be right in our midst himself, and we not recognize because our eyes have been restrained from seeing him. There's a reason for that. Look at down at verse 31, Luke 24. A little time after their trip there, then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. So once their eyes were restrained, and now we read their eyes were open. So it's possible for God to restrain your eyes for a reason, and it's possible for him to open your eyes and you know him now. These are believers. Say believers. This is very important. Go back to verse 17. He said to them, what kind of conversation are y'all talking about with one another as you're walking here and you're sad? You're all sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? You haven't known the things which happen here in these days? You don't know what's going on? He said, what thing? Jesus is like, tell me. Tell me all about it, all the things I don't know. They said, it's about Jesus of Nazareth. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He said, tell me about it. It's all about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. See there? Right there, you see them. They have a lower view of him than who he really is. He was a prophet. No, he wasn't a prophet. But that's how they're seeing him. He was a great man of God. He was so awesome. He was so godly. No, he's much higher than that. Much more than a prophet. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. The chief priests delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. And we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping he'd be the one. And besides this, today's the third day since this happened. And some women are saying that he rose from, they didn't find the body and visions of angels. And they went to the tomb and found it like they said. And Jesus spoke and said, oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe. There's what holds our eyes, is being slow to believe all that the scriptures say. Slow of heart is that unbelief. And he tells them, verse 26, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As they drew near to the village where they were going, he indicated that he would go further, but they constrained him. See, that's one of the things it takes for God to open your eyes, is a hunger to know him fresh and new. It says their hearts were burning in them as he talked with them. And any believer that says, Lord, I'm hungry for you to know you, then their eyes were open. Verse 31, they knew him. They got revelation in the breaking of the bread. Now, my wife plays the piano. Hopefully in a few minutes here, as we're worshiping and praying for each other, as we minister to the Lord. That piano, I think it's going to be that one probably she uses. Well, it's an electric one. I don't know anything about the insides because I'm not an expert on that. But I suppose it has little wires in there. And I suppose it has all kinds of connections. And I suppose that, you know, it's got, you know, things that make the sound come out. You could have the very best pianist, professional master piano player that can play the piano like nobody's business. But if there's a misconnection in there on the keys, it doesn't matter how good the piano player is. And Jesus here, these men on the negative side, their eyes were withheld no matter how good the master was. But then he did something. He opened their eyes. I want you to know that these men did not deserve it. They were part of those who fled. And when he was crucified, they had failed Jesus. They had messed up. It was all grace that he would open their eyes to have a fresh vision of him. In my life, I'd like to stand and say that, you know, I've been so faithful to God throughout the years that he just keeps giving me revelation after revelation. But that's not true. The truth is, by the grace of God, he continues to give revelation to my wife and I. I shared with someone a while ago that we were in El Paso not long ago. I was over there, and I was so tired. We were having 12 meetings there in the 2.5 days, and I was so tired. I mean, have you ever been so tired you're just literally, blah, 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 blah. That's how I was. I was like, I think I need to lay down. Like, my heart's hurting. And I was on my knees there, and there was worship. I was supposed to, like, speak in a few minutes. And I just was, like, almost dizzy, so tired. And I was like, this is ridiculous. You know, how am I going to share or speak? And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, I want you to thank me for your weakness. Thank me that you're weak. So, I mean, I'm already toast, so I might as well. I thank you that I'm so weak. I thank you for my weakness. I just want to thank you. And the more I was thanking him for my weakness, the more I felt the joy of God just rise up in my spirit. And the grace of God in the room. And God moved in a very special way there. But it's not through any strength. It's through weakness that he opens eyes. On the positive, their eyes were opened by grace. I would like to take you through many scriptures to share this with you, but I'm going to spare you that tonight. Hopefully, maybe one day we can read that. My son Timothy, would you mind coming to the piano? My son Timothy, not too long ago, he told me this. He said, Dad, he believes in Jesus. I'm convinced my son believes in Jesus. He's 7 years old. But he's being honest. He said, how is it that we believe in Jesus, but we haven't seen him? How is it? That was not a rebellious, just unbelieving statement. That's why in Luke chapter 1, you read of two people, Zacharias and Mary. Zacharias asked the angel, how's this going to be since my wife is barren? And the angel said, shut your mouth. You're not going to talk until this baby's born. I'm an angel of God. I'm Gabriel. And I'm saying it a little more rough probably than he said. But he tells him, I'm an angel of God. Because of your unbelief, you're not even going to speak again until this comes to pass. Then Mary tells him, how's this going to be? I've never known a man. And he tells her, well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the holy thing, you might say, how come he didn't tell her? Shut your mouth. Was he just like Mary better than Zacharias? No, there was a difference. Zacharias said, how do I know this is really going to happen? In other words, if it doesn't make sense to my mind, I don't believe you. Mary was more like, wow, like how my son was. He's like, how is it again? He wasn't saying, I don't believe in Jesus. He was saying, how is it that we believe in Jesus and we've never, how is that? How can that be that I believe in Jesus and I've never seen him? I said, Mijo, that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking. And we began to read about the Holy Spirit, all the promises that we won't read tonight, but we began to read like John chapter 15, for example, where Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to testify about me. And he's the Spirit of truth. And he'll let you know, just like I told my son, if we were in Walmart somewhere and people were like pointing at Timothy saying, who is this little boy? Who does he belong to? What's his name? Who is he? I would stand forth and say, that's Timothy. That's my son right there. That's who that is. And if anyone questioned, I don't believe that, that's my son, I would tell him, yes, it is. I would stand by him. He's my son, this one right here. How do you know? I was there when he was born. I cut the umbilical cord. I carried him. I've raised him. He's been with me. He's part of me. That's who this is. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will be the one, and he still is the one to testify about Jesus. Lest anyone doubt and say, well, I've never seen Jesus. No, but the Spirit of truth, he lets you know, no matter like how I was, so deep in darkness, he lets you know, this is my son. And Jesus goes on, you know, John chapter 16, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to convict the world that we've sinned against God. He's going to convict the world that God is so righteous. Same righteousness we talked about earlier concerning my mom, concerning my life, concerning you, concerning one another. How he died for all. so that those who live, those of us who are alive in Christ, should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again on our behalf. This is a true Christian walk. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. The Holy Spirit is still the one convicting. Having not seen, but we believe. Though we don't see Him, we love Him. Even though we don't yet see Him, we have this joy. You know what it's all about? Because the disciples said, how come you keep telling us, you can find this in John 16, that right now we see you, but then we're not going to see you, but then we're going to see you again? Because that's what Jesus would tell him. He said, right now you see me, but in a little bit you're not going to see me. And in a little bit more you're going to see me again. What are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about that your sorrow and your grieving is going to be turned to joy. That's what I'm talking about. Because when I'm crucified, the world will rejoice and you will mourn. And you will be sorrowful. It will tear you to pieces. He said, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And that joy, the world will not take it away from you. He's talking about not seeing, yet believing, a spiritual eyes, and believing what the world cannot believe. This is the grace of God given to us. God Himself, God the Father, testifies about His Son. That's why the Bible says there's three that bear record: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, meaning these three agree. They're not in disagreement. The Father wanted you saved to be His son and daughter. The Son wanted you saved. The Holy Spirit wanted you saved. And they also want our eyes to be open. The Mary at His feet, He said, it's not going to be taken away from her. Nobody's going to say, Mary, grow up already, wanting to be intimate with Jesus, wanting to, like a little kid or something. You've already been a Christian all these years. You grow up and tough it out. And He says, no, leave her alone. It will not be taken. She's chosen the best part. That intimacy, that fresh revelation of who Jesus is to you. They said, did not our hearts burn in us when He was talking? And immediately they were going to run away from Jerusalem, where it was real hot and there was hurting believers over there, other believers. They were going to go hide out in Emmaus. But instead, after Jesus was revealed to them, they went back to Jerusalem. Why? Because now they're going to encourage their brothers and sisters. Now they have fresh revelation. Their eyes are open, fresh and new. That's why Jesus said in Revelation, I counsel you to buy of me eyesight. And don't say, we have no need of that because I see. He says, no, because you don't know, you're blind. And I can show you more. Tonight, I felt in my heart like the Holy Spirit was saying that we're to pray for one another. There's something about that touches God's heart. But it's hard to pray for someone else if you're feeling kind of cut off or you're grieved by various trials. And Jesus said, what you need, if you be honest, I need this. I know I do. I'll tell you right now, I do. Because I already know from what God's shown me that in order for me to be willing vessel open in this hour for the things that are coming upon our land that are here, I need fresh revelation. I don't need to believe that lie that you, no, when you were a baby Christian, you had your honeymoon and all that, but now you're just going to live the Christian life just, you know, trying to be. No, I need that fresh intimacy, communion with the Lord. I need my eyes to be open to see the amazing grace on my life. So there'll be an overflow. And I'll never again be like how I was those many years ago with my mom, seeing her frustrated. Why don't you change? I already told you. I need fresh vision. We need fresh vision, not only of each other, but then also for the lost. That's my prayer tonight. God, if Paul prayed that, the church prayed that, it's in Scripture, we can pray that too. Open the eyes of our understanding. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ that we might know Him. We can pray that tonight. Maybe as we begin just to minister to the Lord, here, right there in your chair, you can minister to Him, and we'll let the Spirit lead us tonight, the next few moments, and then we can move into a time of being led to pray for one another in this room. I don't believe we gathered just to hear a Bible study or to have a church service, but to minister to one another through the Holy Spirit. Would you be free to minister to the Lord as my wife singing, as God's daughter singing here? Would you be free to minister to Jesus?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out colw.info.